Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Club Junkie Podcast. Hopefully, you're having a great week. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see I have a huge mic. Had to switch it out, and it's a good time. I'll tell you guys why in just a minute, but we're over halfway through the week, getting close to the weekend, and super excited about what's coming tomorrow. I'll let you know what's coming tomorrow. Crazy that it's already here tomorrow, but anyway, before we get into it today, just letting you know, this episode brought to you by Titleist. And nothing will do more to improve your driver performance than getting fit by an authorized Titleist fitting specialist. With outstanding featured shafts and a new premium partnership with Graphite Design, we have all the tools to get your game dialed. Visit Titleist.com to learn more about TSI drivers and to schedule your fitting today. I know with all the new launch stuff, all that, TSI has been talked about a little bit, actually, of comparing it to some of the new products. And to be 100% honest, it's still holding its own. I took my TSI 3 out just last time I was at the range, so 2 weeks ago. I took it up to the range and I hit some balls. I put a new, different Maizaki shaft in it and stuff and hit some balls, and it's still an absolute beast. But yeah, check out Titleist.com. See if you can get with a Titleist fitting specialist. And TSI's, man, still going strong. So, new day. It's a new Thursday back here. And the big news that I think I hinted about very beginning of the year, I think the first show of the year I hinted at, maybe last show of last year, which the big news is TG2's coming back, man. Two guys talking golf, myself, Andrew Tursky, we're bringing the show back. The boys are back in town. Super, super, super excited about it. Tursky's back with Golf WRX. He's doing a ton of stuff out on tour, so you're going to see a ton of his content coming. I think he's going to do his own podcast as well. Not 100% sure about that, but I think he is. But he's going to be doing a ton of content straight from the tour, like, little sound clips, interviewing guys about what they're playing, why they're playing it, switches, things like that. So him and I are going to be talking a lot about that stuff, equipment that's out now, anything like that we're going to be talking about. And just two old boys talking some golf. And unfortunately, we won't be, face-to-face like we were previously, but we will be together on a podcast again, and we'll be doing it. It'll be everywhere else under Golf WRX Radio. TG2 is going to be able to. We're also going to do it. Do the whole YouTube thing. So we're going to kind of Zoom conference or however we're going to do it there. And I guess we should figure out 100% because tomorrow is basically our day. But we're going to basically do a whole Zoom type meeting, record it, and then maybe throw in a couple little shots of clubs or whatever that he's gained from the tour or whatnot and go from there. So pretty exciting stuff. I'm super geeked. I think I said when he left, I was super bummed. Just because, even outside of the podcast, him and I just, we kind of became friends, just hanging out in the office and all that. And it was always, always a blast working with him. And I was bummed to see him go. And I never thought the show would, I thought TG2 was, for the most part, it lived on, again, but after that, I thought it was pretty much gone, and my TG2 head cover over there I thought was going to be just some little relic from back in the day, and it's not. So we're going to be, I think Fridays are going to be our show. If you search Golf WRX Radio, it should come up there, but it'll be kind of labeled under TG2. It'll still be two guys talking golf, but I think it's just kind of going to go over the TG2, name. But I'm super excited. I know I got a lot of DMs from people. If you want to follow along on Instagram, at TG2WRX, is the Instagram handle for that. And we'll be posting stuff from there. And hopefully, Andrew, I can get him to post some stuff from tour and whatever. And it should be a fun time, man. I'm super excited. I know I've got a lot of DMs from some people who are very excited as well to hear him back with us and back with me. And I can't wait. So we're going to do some recording tonight, and we'll see how episode one goes. I think it'll be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. And you know what? We even talked about maybe seeing if we can get old Stevie Westfall back on from Mondays Off, see if we can get him on an episode as a guest, because I think having all three of us on there would be quite a blast. But like I said, super excited for that. If you want to follow me on Instagram, at Club Junkie Pod, you can do that as well. I know I missed yesterday's Q&A that I usually do, and I just kind of forgot. I went into the office, I had some stuff to do, and by the time I got out, got home, and hung out with the family a little bit, it was just too late. So I apologize for that. Maybe I'll do it today. If you want to check out at Club Junkie Pod, hopefully I'll have maybe some Q&A stuff going today. Well, we'll see. Like I said, we got a big day and got to do some recording and all that. But we'll see how it goes. So it's been a busy time. It's been also crappy weather here in Detroit. Just got dumped like 3 inches of snow this week on us. So I fired up the old snowblower. My old I got a new to me snowblower, an old Snapper 17, and it fired up on the third pull. I fired it up a few weeks or probably like a month ago or so just to make sure everything was going. Put some fresh gas in her, and like I said, I think third pull she was fired up and going. So we were rocking and rolling with the snowblower and blowing all snow, and it was just it's fun. My daughter went out, played in it, she had a blast, but it just sucks because there's no golf being nothing being hit off grass anytime soon, that's for sure. But it's all right. It's just what we do right now. Also, the PGA show is going on, and that is definitely an interesting thing. I didn't go this year. I'm not down there this year. This is kind of the first year I've missed. I mean, last year I didn't go because there wasn't one. This is the first year I've actually missed, just because since I've been working with Golf WRX. I think 17 was my first show. Then went 18, 19, no show in 20, and for 21 I just didn't. I didn't go down. Not a lot going on. It's a really small show. It's, from what I've seen, the photos, if you've ever been there before, the driving range at Orange County National is this huge circle, like 400 and some yards across. And, years prior, it's been full. I mean, flat out full. The whole range has just been full of OEM displays, tents, whatever. And it's just company next to company next to company as you walk down the line. And it's absolutely packed. And from the photos I've seen, that just isn't the case this year. It's definitely much more spread out. There's not near as many people. I mean, I think all the big OEMs, unfortunately, TaylorMade's been out for a couple of years. I think, Callaway decided not to go. Cobra, everybody, they've all just kind of dropped off, whether it was, travel/health-related, whatever. They had their reasons, and just a much smaller show. So I haven't seen the stuff from from inside the convention center yesterday and Tuesday, but we'll see how that goes, there. But I know it's a much smaller thing, and it's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens to the show. We all kind of, know anybody who's been in the golf business kind of knows that shows probably needs to be changed up a little bit. It probably needs to do some adjusting on how it's done and where it's done and when and all that. And I guess, maybe this is the time to kind of evaluate it and see. But it'll be interesting to see. Like I said, if this year's really small, if next year, world health is in a much better place, I guess maybe we'll see where things go there. But it's going to be really interesting. And I do miss the show. I mean, there was a lot of – the show for me was always fun because it's not so much seeing equipment and seeing products, because those stuff we pretty much know about. There's very few big launches that hit on – on the PGA show days. So really, when it comes to, especially clubs, they're all pretty much out there, and we've seen them and, or seen them probably for a while. And so it's not something that there, but for me, it's just, getting to see a lot of people that I don't get to see, just because, golf is primarily a West Coast sport in terms of where everybody's located. And I'm over here on the East. I don't get to see the people as much as I'd like to. And, for me, it's a good time to see everybody, catch up, say hi, and see how people are doing and see them face to face. So that part about it, I'm totally bummed about, because I do enjoy that. And it is what it is. We're just in kind of a different place when it comes to travel and big gatherings and all that right now. So right now I'm going to kind of roll with it, but I do miss everybody down there. I kind of wish I was, going out and getting a beverage with some people, having some dinners and hanging out, because that stuff is always just an absolute blast. So anybody who's down at the show, hopefully you're having a great time. Hopefully there's a lot going on, and enjoy it. So it's, like I said, definitely something that is bittersweet, not for me to be down there. I mean, I always hate being, away from my family for a week, but, it's always fun to go down there and see everybody. But so show's going on. Like I said, I know demo day was kind of slim. Like I said, from the photos on the range, I haven't seen inside yet. I definitely do. I don't know if things were condensed and they kind of moved things down. I talked to a few people who, talked about their moving booths and stuff like that almost last minute, just because there was some availability. And so it'll be interesting to see how it was laid out and how it was set up. But We'll see. I know there's always still some cool stuff at the show. So it's not like, if you're there that you're not seeing anything, because you're definitely probably seeing some stuff. So, the show's going on. I guess before I get into it, I've only really got one review of a product right now, because I got home last week. The weather here was absolutely horrible. It snowed like crazy. Sunday morning, we took my daughter to Sesame Street Live, and it was atrocious getting down there. I mean, how much snow, the roads weren't plowed yet or anything like that, and going down was brutal. Coming back was fine, but going down early in the morning was just awful. So I didn't get out and hit some balls yet. I definitely am going to, because I have a bunch of stuff here that I need to go hit. I've got SM9s that I need to go hit. I've got a couple of them sitting over there. Unfortunately, none of them are truly my spec. The closest is there's a 54D grind that they sent in, because for media samples, they don't basically take your specs and send you whatever you want. They kind of send what's available, and they make sure to send one of each finish, which is perfect. But they send a 5208F, the 54D grind, and then I think a 6008M. So those are the three that are sent, which, the 60's fine, but the 8-degree M bound, that's a little low for me. I'm going to go hit the 54D. Maybe I'll bend it to 55, so it'll kind of match my 56, a little closer, and kind of see how that plays. But I want to go hit them. I know a lot of people ask me about, how they feel, how they perform, ball flight, things like that. And I don't have it yet, but I do have them here. The other thing I definitely have that I'm waiting to hit is I got the Mizuno Woods STX STZ, the 220 series, and the 3-wooden hybrid. I definitely want to go hit those heads. I know Mizuno heads are always kind of underrated. And I remember when I first hit the 190G, I was shocked at how good it was. And it was just one of those things where I didn't even think about it until I actually went out and hit it and realized it was a really good driver, and actually gamed it for a little bit. And then the same thing with the 200 series is really good. I hit the G, the ST220G, and it's really solid. It just launched a little too low for me, and in the media samples, a media sample was a 9-degree head, just a little too low for me, but it's a really good head, and especially, I thought the movable weights on that thing were probably some of the most effective in any driver I've hit in a long, long time. So when you set that thing up for fade, it definitely fades, and it's not going left. The new heads, excuse me, look really good. I mean, the same gloss black, carbon fiber, all that look really good. Faces are deep. Excited to go hit those. And then I've still got VA Composites Drago over here that I just need a grip on. I finally got some more grips in. So I've got to grip that and take that out and hit it. And I'll probably be giving that a whack in my Stealth head. So I've got the Stealth here, but it is a 9-degree head, which is a little low, but I was hitting that with the Ventus TR when I was out in California. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. When I was out there, I was hitting it, and actually hit it pretty well. I think Tursky brought that a 9-degree head that he had for the Stealth Plus, and I hit it with the TR, and I actually hit it pretty good. Hit it pretty, fairly high. So, and that head, the nice thing, for me at least, is TaylorMade's one of the few heads that I feel like you could add a little loft with their sleeve. And the way they paint that top line, it doesn't look shut. Like, it still looks square to slightly open. So I've got that going. So I'm going to hit the Drago. And then the other thing, too, is something that I've been messing with more and more, just because I really liked it last year. And I guess I'm kind of all over the place, and I apologize, but it's just one of those shows, and kind of been tinkering lately. So the one thing that I've been kind of messing with is, so Toulon had out the, a bunch of new Toulon design putters. And one of the putters is the Chicago, which the Chicago is one that I played for a while last year. It kind of went in between the Bettinardi BB8 wide and the Toulon Chicago. So I had both of those, and they brought in a new Chicago. And the Chicago right now, the old one I really liked. I putted great, really well with it. There was really nothing about it that I didn't like. And this new one here is a little bit nicer. And the reason I say that, they've kind of upped the feel. It's got a brand new milling on it, so that their diamond face milling, totally different. And it's got a little micro milling on each one of the little like kind of diamonds. And they also have an extra kind of horizontal line through the face as well. And when it first came in, I saw it and I was like, okay, it's a little darker finish. And they, kind of changed up from one sole plate weight. They've got, two weights on the bottom for the what do you call it, for the weights. And I was like, okay, so not much different. Threw down a couple balls, took a few putts with it, and I was shocked at like kind of how much softer and how much you know, better it felt and sounded. And then getting it home, kind of setting it up next to last year's, it looks really similar. When you set it down, it's really similar. Darker finish. It's kind of more of a black finish, where the other one was more of kind of a steel gray. This one is definitely all black with a white sight line. The other one, I think I actually had a white sight line. I think I painted it black. And then it's also got just a thicker face. When you look at the rear cavity of it, like the rear actual cavity where it says kind of where it says Odyssey and has a little swirl, if you look at how much depth there is in that cavity, there's almost none. It's just slightly machined out, where on the old one, it's actually fairly deep. So I think the face on the old one is definitely much thinner than this one. But other than that, you know, shape looks really good. The all black finish, I kind of like it. It hides some of the fingerprints a little bit compared to, you know, last year's steel one. Durability-wise, I guess we'll see. But I was putting with it, you know, when it first came in, and I really kind of liked how it felt. It was definitely a little softer and had a little more, you know, quieter sound to it, even with a firmer cover ball like a Pro V1X. And I was really excited to give it a whirl. So I took it out, or I took it home, putted with it around here, really liked it so far. And then I said, you know what, I want to go, because again, media sample set in 35 inches, because that's, I guess, a men's length, as everybody likes to think about it. I'm short, I'm 5'9", 35 inches doesn't work for me. So instead of just cutting down the Stroke Lab shaft and putting another grip on and all that, I actually just yanked the shaft out of last year's and popped it in this head. So now I've got 33-inch putter, and I've got a grip that I know I putted well with that I like. It was still in good shape, which is that Lampkin, I think it was at the Sync Fit Skinny pistol, which, as I just like scratch the putter head now on my podcast mic stand. But anyway, so I got this thing rolling, glued it up, and I've been putting around with it in the basement here for a while and really liking it so far. So I think it's, you know, as much as people kind of, I wouldn't say complain, but people look at, you know, putters from last year to this year and they say that not much has changed. This thing on the outside doesn't look like a ton has changed. When you actually roll it, really, really a different putter. You know, if you were to basically, you know, kind of blindfold me and hit it, I wouldn't think they were the same two putters. So this one here, really liking this Toulon Chicago a lot. The 2022 model, vastly improved, which is funny. The two putters that I used last year, the Bettinardi BB8W and now the Toulon Chicago, both look almost identical to last year's models. Both vastly improved in sound and feel, which is pretty kind of shocking that two putters that I used both were updated this year when they were brand new last year. But the Chicago here has been really good. Like I said, down to 33 inches now, and really feels pretty much, I mean, it feels in terms of through the stroke, feels exactly like last year's. You know, it's got just a little bit of toe hang to it. It's nothing crazy. It's got just a little bit of toe hang to it. And that flow, as you know, through the stroke, pretty much, I mean, everybody's got a little bit of arc in their stroke. And this thing here definitely has, you can feel that toe kind of release and come forward and kind of shut the door, as they call it, through the stroke. And so far, like I said, I've really liked putting with it. Confidence-wise, it gives you a lot of confidence when something sounds and feels right. And I found stuff that has kind of a really high-pitched ting, whatever, I tend to not swing those putters very, very hard or very fast, and I leave a lot of putts short. Anything that's softer, that has a little softer feel, all that, I definitely hit a little firmer. I get it to the hole, and I think a lot of that has to do with, I played Odyssey putters for forever with inserts, you know, the White Hots and all those. And those soft inserts, I think I just got used to, you know, hitting the ball at whatever firmness I wanted, because there was no audible real feedback from it. And with this thing here, and especially with the BB8W, there's so much more audible and vibration feedback through the shaft and all that, that it's just, it really does kind of change how you putt with it. And, you know, it's always interesting where people are like, oh, I hate inserts, or I don't hate inserts, or whatever it is. And I think there's definitely a difference. And I think people, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, a person who putts with a milled putter, you know, insertless putter could never putt with an insert putter, but it's a big difference, you know. And some people maybe don't look for that feel, or, you know, don't care as much about that sound and feel and all that. And there's some people who do. And I wouldn't say that I'm that crazy about it, but I definitely do notice a difference in terms of that feel and sound. And it, like I said, I'm not going to say it's a good or bad thing either way. It's just I do notice it, and I can definitely see where some people don't enjoy playing with, you know, certain style putters, and I can kind of see why, just from, you know, from hitting so many now and now kind of learning a little bit about more about my putting and having a good year putting last year, and you know, a lot of that was, you know, I think due to finding a putter that worked really well, that 8-8 and that BB8W and this guy. The only thing I wish I could do with this putter is I love the fact that it's a double bend. I love the look of it. I wish I could put a different shaft in it. Like, I've really become accustomed to like that Fujikura MC putter shaft, and I just can't, like, there's no way to do it with here without some crazy kind of machining or some wild type work to do on it. So unfortunately there's no way to do it with this, but I would really love, I wish there was a way that I could get that MC putter shaft in here, because I do really like the feel of it. The stroke lab feels fine. It just doesn't quite have the same overall stiffness as that MC putter. And I just, like I said, I wish I could get that in there, but that's a pretty minor gripe. So this thing's been really good. I've been really, really happy with it. I can't wait to get it out on some real greens and get it rolling. When I went out 2 weeks ago out to Fujikura for that TR launch, I brought the eight wide, and I didn't putt well, but that was more me. It was just in terms of reading putts and stuff like that. I was awful with it, and pretty much most of my game 2 weeks ago was pretty awful, but. You know, like I said, this thing here and going between the two putters, I think it's going to be pretty fun this year, because, you know, having two putters that you have confidence in is always a good thing, because when one's acting up, you take it down here in the basement, you toss it in the backup bag, you let it rest there for a bit, let it understand that, hey, there's it can be replaced at any time. And then you bring it back out in a couple weeks, and usually it performs pretty well. So it's but having two putters, because sometimes you do that and you don't have a putter. Like, you look at your stable and they're like, you're like, there's nothing here that I'm putting well with. There's nothing here that I really want to putt with. And, you know, and then that's it. So having two here that you can rock, you know, with confidence is always really good. So that there has been going well. I'm super excited to get some more playing time in that. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen anytime soon, but I'm excited for it when it does come. And then the other thing that I finally got on the course, which I didn't really talk about just because, with the TR launch, there was so much stuff going on with that, is Fairway Wood Search, which is still on. I was testing out the Rogue ST Max, and I actually tossed a little Ventus Red in here, a little 7X, and took this bad boy out to the desert. And unfortunately, on the course we played, which was, the Pete Dye, Mission Hills, the Pete Dye course, wasn't a whole lot of room to really hit a ton of three woods. I think I hit it like on like one par five, and I think I hit maybe one par five, maybe that was it. Yeah, I don't think I hit it much more than a couple times, but on the range I hit a bunch of balls with it, and to be honest, it is a really, really good three wood. I mean, it's impressive that it's much straighter than I thought it was going to be, and it also doesn't quite launch as high as I thought it would. You know, the max head is still much more forgiving head, meant to be, you know, straight, easy to hit, help golfers, you know, hit it straighter, hit farther, all that. I was shocked when I put in, because I think I hit it with the stock shaft in it a couple weeks ago, or probably a month ago, so whatever it was. And this thing here, I mean, with the Ventus Red, definitely flew much flatter than I thought, actually a little, you know, even a hair lower than I might want it to, but I didn't hit enough shots, especially off the tee with it, to really dial that part in yet. But I hit a bunch of shots on the tee, on the range, off the tee, hit some off the turf, hit, like I said, one or two off the turf during play over at Mission Hills, and, you know, overall, really impressed. I mean, the sound of it, really good. I mean, you know, like I said, has kind of a lower, it has some metallic to it, but it's lower pitched. But overall, I mean, I was hitting it really well. One of the shots, I hit it just an actual knee-high burner, which for me is the struggle I usually have with a three-wood off the deck, only because I'm hitting down on the ball, trying to make sure I hit ball first and not hit it thin, whatever, and then I just deal off the hell out of it and rip some, you know, like waist-high burner down there. But it was pretty amazing that even shots like that, I was kind of getting away with hitting it still pretty darn far. I mean, granted, it's Southern California. You know, the fairways are pretty tight. They're pretty fast. They're pretty firm. That same shot here in Michigan probably wouldn't get away with it as easily. But overall, just a really good three wood. So far, I've really liked it. It doesn't have the magic of XR16, which was, you know, in my bag for 3 years plus. But it definitely does have some forgiveness to it, and I've been hitting it pretty well. So I'm excited to kind of hit some more shots with that. Definitely not near as much draw to it. I mean, I never have a problem with hitting it right. Just isn't something I have to worry about. But this thing here, definitely, you know, it is straight to slightly left. I haven't had a problem with anything going right. And I think it's, you know, you can slice it. You can hit it hard to the right. You can hit a cut with it. But it definitely takes a little more work, and it definitely wants to go straight or, you know, have a little draw to it. But like I said, hit some rockets off the tee that just went a long, long ways. And I'm pretty excited to hit some more shots with this, especially off the tee and especially at kind of my own courses where I kind of know where I hit those shots to. It'll be exciting to kind of hit this thing there and see, because I think it's a little longer. I mean, last year I was playing Sim 2 Max with the Speeder NX, and it was really good. I mean, I hit it straight and everything, but it wasn't the crazy long three-wood combo that I've ever had, which is fine. I mean, I'm not looking for absolute max distance out of this three-wood setup. But this one here definitely has some really good feel to it, and it's definitely really stable. The Rogue SD stuff has just been really stable the whole time. I mean, it's just, like I said, really easy to hit and really stable, and it just, you know, the stuff just wants to go straight. So, but like I said, this thing here has been really good. Really excited to get some more shots in with this as well. The last thing I'll talk about before I get into actually my actual review of a product is something I've been kind of thinking about, and this came out, I almost did a podcast on this a week too early, or just about. I totally almost missed the embargo date on these things, which was pretty bad, especially for somebody who works in the business. But, so, I was taking photos of the new Cleveland RTX Zipcore full face. So they've got a new full face in black satin. And I've been playing the RTX full face in the tour rack, the raw one in a 60, pretty much ever since it came out last year. They sent in a 58, which is only 9 degrees of bounce. Bent it to 60, so it's like a 60-11, and I've played really, really well with it. I love the, you know, in a 60 especially, I love the full face grooves. If I open the face, I'm probably going to hit it out on the toe, so it gives me a little more spin, a little bit, you know, this higher toe shape gives me a little more mass up top. Those shots that you do catch high and off the toe tend to come out not as dead with a little more spin, and you just have more control over them. So I've been, like I said, playing the tour rack version, the raw version, but they've just released the black satin version. So kind of a matte black finish. Not as dark as, say, Vokey's. It's got a little more gunmetal to it, but it's got the full face RTX grooves in it. And, but the thing I'm kind of interested in, and I'm going to start doing, is they sent in basically a full set. Like, they sent in a 56 or 54. I don't know. But anyway, they sent in a 50, a 50, maybe it's 54, and a 58. And I kept looking at them going, as much as I set down this 50, and, you know, the full face thing for me, the full face groove thing for me, I mean, I get it in the high lofts. It makes a whole lot of sense. The 50 to me never really made a whole lot of sense. I was like, well, you know, sometimes for some people, these things are kind of harder to square up, you know, with the different shape and these big square toes. And a lot of times the leading edge is kind of rounded. I was like, man, I just don't, you know, I don't see where that is a, you know, a club that's needed for these full face grooves. And then after hitting some shots 2 weeks ago on the, you know, out on the course and on the range and all that, on a day where I was not hitting it well at all, it was very interesting to see that, like, for me, so, I mean, my miss is I come over the top, but I have the face shut, and I basically come down on the ball, and I hit it left. And if I don't hit it, you know, square, there's a lot of times where I kind of come across, and I hit it out on the toe. And there's a lot of times I go to the range, and on bad days, I barely hit the grooves. You know, I'm, like, barely in the grooves, or I'll have a shot that's, like, half in, half out. And I've had those shots on the course as well. And I was like, you know what, for the 50, I wonder if, playing a full groove 50 like this for a guy like me that misses out on the toe quite frequently and with all shots, not just little, you know, finesse shots around the green, but even with full shots, you know, would it be worth it to maybe try putting this in the bag for those shots that said do come down over it, hit, you know, get steep, whatever, and I catch it out on this toe, instead of getting half the ball in the grooves, if I get the full, you know, full grooves for the shot, is that shot going to end up better for me? I mean, I know it's not going to go as far. It's, you know, pretty far away from the sweet spot and all that. So distance-wise, it's not going to go, you know, as far as it should. But I wonder if I'll get away with having, you know, the ball, say it has a little more spin on it and, you know, having a little more mass up high. Maybe that, you know, helps me out with expanding that sweet spot a little bit maybe. But, you know, having a little more mass up high and having full grooves, will that help me even on full shots? And it might. I'm like, I'm kind of interested to see. This is a 50.09, so 50 degree with 9 degrees of bounce. And I really want to take it out and see how it is. So I'm pretty excited to take this out, hit full shots with it, and see how it performs. Now the 50, I mean, I do hit some shots around the green with it as well, bump and run type stuff, all that. And I'll admit, I don't love the look when I set it down. It's definitely not my favorite wedge, that's for sure. I mean, when I set it down, it's just kind of like, it's a little funky out with that toe, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see because it does have a fairly straight leading edge. It's only slightly curved. And for a guy, like I said, a guy who misses a lot out on the toe, I'll be interested to see if that can help me, you know, get away with some shots or, you know, hit it a little closer to the hole on balls that are struck really, really poorly. So I'm definitely going to give this thing a try. I was going to give it a try anyway, just to review it. And like I said, I almost started talking about it last week, which would have been bad because embargo was like Tuesday, or was it Tuesday or yesterday? I don't know. Yeah, I think it was Tuesday. So it was like one of those things where it's like I almost posted it on Instagram to ask people what they thought about these things. So it was kind of a good thing on my part that for whatever reason I stopped, and for whatever reason I checked the old embargo list and realized that I was going to be in the wrong there, which would have been bad. It's never good. Oh boy, it's never good to break embargoes with any products. So glad I did that. Glad I didn't do that, and happy to say that I still have a job. So which is awesome. But so those are the things I've kind of either tried more or looking forward to try. I know I don't kind of get into what I'm testing soon, but like I said, that wedge is going to be interesting. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm going to post a photo of it on the Club Junkie Pod Instagram account, and I would love to hear people's thoughts because I know there'll be a bunch of like, oh, it's hideous, whatever. But I mean, if you look at it and you're somebody like me who kind of, you know, comes down on it and hits it off the toe, like, are you interested in maybe seeing how that would work for you? Because that's the whole thing for me. Is it going to work for me? Is it going to, like I said, help me hit it closer to the hole when I really miss those shots? And we'll see. If it does, maybe it stays in the bag. If not, well, then maybe I go back to, you know, MG3 or, you know, who knows, maybe SM9. We'll see what goes on. But definitely something that is definitely piqued my interest. And I'm getting, I think the worse I play, which unfortunately this whole time I've been playing, you know, worse golf, the worse I play, the more interested I'm in, you know, the more interest I have in things like this that may not look amazing to my eye. You know, they're not the most traditionalist, you know, blade looking whatever, but they definitely could help, and I can see where that works. So definitely worth giving it a shot. I'm excited, like I said, these three things, excited to keep going with. Like I said, wedge I'm going to go hit. Got SM9s, Mizuno Woods, VA Composites Drago Shaft. So I've got some stuff to get out. The old full swing monitor will be in running on full speed when I get out there and hit the range. So I will probably bring that. If I go to the outdoor range, I'll probably be in the full swing. There's an indoor dome. If you're unfamiliar with cold weather golf, you can hit balls in domes, and it's not bad. I mean, you can hit balls in domes. The downside is the ball only goes 75 yards for at least the domes near me. So full swing won't necessarily work there. For that, I might bring the Mevo Plus and, you know, see how the new software, I don't think I have the full premium, whatever software, but I think to see, what the software updates look like, I will probably give that a whirl and try it out. So, the last thing I have to do is an actual review, and it's a brand new golf ball, which is the new Srixon Z-Star Diamond. So this is a brand new ball from Srixon this year. If you haven't played the Z-Star or the Z-Star XV ever, or you know, not lately. Boy, I can't stack anything up here today. The old stack them up to show them off on YouTube, just not working today. But so anyway, yeah, this is a brand new Z-Star golf ball. So we've had the Z-Star XV for a while now. Strixon's been making them, and I haven't actually played both quite a bit. I mean, pretty much every year I've played at least, I've taken them out to at least test them, and usually I've played a good amount of Z-Star for a lot of the year, just because it's a really good ball. And typically I've gone more towards, Z-Star just because I really like that softer feel. And I love kind of that softer feel and that little bit kind of higher greenside spin that it offers compared to XV. XV, I definitely hit it a little higher, which is something that I typically need. But I never liked the firm feel, like the really firm feel, kind of like Pro V1X. I mean, I like the feel of the Pro V1 better. But the XV, I do have to say, last year definitely had a softer feel to it. It was still solid, but it was definitely softer, less audible when you putted with it, chipped with it. It was just a better sounding and feeling golf ball than previous versions. But here the Z-Star Diamond kind of fits into the game where Z-Star is kind of the softer ball. It's more of a lower flying golf ball with pretty low driver spin, but it's a little higher spinning, flies lower. And then this XV is a little lower spinning with the long irons, driver, all that, firmer feel, and has more of a higher launch, the XV does. The Z-Star Diamond is basically going to be another higher flying ball, kind of like the XV. It's going to fly a little higher, and it's also going to spin a little more than the XV. So it's kind of it's similar to a Z-Star with basically more spin and a higher launch. So you're going to get a little more spin, a little higher launch than the Z-Star. So it kind of fits in between the Z-Star and the XV a little bit. Kind of takes the best characteristics of both and, you know, tosses into one ball. Strixon does say it has the highest greenside spin or short game spin of the three. So I took this thing out when I was out at Mission Hills at the Pete Dye course, and I played Diamond all round. So I played 18 holes with it, and I do have to say it's a really good ball. In terms of ball flight, I did think it was probably around XV. If you wouldn't have told me anything different, I probably would have thought it was a Z-Star XV, to be honest. At least, you know, the first few drives and things like that, it played a lot like an XV. It launched a little higher. It was pretty flat. It didn't spin a ton, or at least I didn't notice a ton of spin or movement, you know, with driver, any of the long irons, anything like that. But I felt like it was, you know, it did launch a little higher than Z-Star did. Not a ton. But I thought, you know, like, okay, this plays a lot like XV. Around the green, it definitely does have a little more check to it. Those greens there were pretty firm. They're pretty tight. So I'm not a crazy high spin guy. And, you know, I was getting balls to stop in pretty good places. The only one that didn't, you know, stop exactly where I wanted it was, I think, I don't remember what hole it was, but the pin was kind of stuck in this kind of little right position, and I, of course, never playing the course, like it was up elevated a little bit, and I hit this really good wedge that I thought was just all over the pin, and it hit, and I didn't realize it had kind of a little downhill bowl in the back right, and it must have hit just there, because I think what my ball mark was just beyond the hole, and it just kind of peeled down off to the right, down a little hole, and that was the one I hit it really good. I pinched it perfectly. I thought for sure that thing was just going to hit and just dead stop, and it didn't, but I think a lot of it just because, you know, it's a kind of a downhill lie that it hit too. But like I said, distance-wise with the driver, it was really good. Like I said, launched a little higher. Definitely had, like I said, it probably had a little bit more spin. I didn't notice any like rise or anything like that. There was one ball, and it was totally me, that I hit down on it. It was just one of those swings I felt I hit down on it, and that thing just it went up in the air. I don't think there was any driver out there, though, that really could have saved that or any ball, you know, that combination. I just hit down on the ball. So it was one ball that ballooned. It was, like I said, more my fault than anything. I don't think if I would have played, you know, Z-Star or like a left dash that it would have stopped it from ballooning. So that was the only shot that I really noticed anything. You know, there was a little more curvature right to left right to left for me than I typically kind of see, I think with say, you know, that I say Z-Star or Z-Star XV, or really Z-Star, there was a little more draw to my ball, I think, than I typically see, but not a ton. You know, the long game side of it, it really did go well. It definitely did launch pretty easy like XV does. And like I said, probably had a little bit more spin, but it wasn't anything crazy. And I think if you're somebody who doesn't have, you know, who doesn't launch driver with a ton of spin, you hit up on the ball, and, you know, you want that extra height, I don't think the extra spin in the long game is going to really hurt too many players. And if you're that type of player who has a ton of speed, you know, ton of spin with the long, you know, the top end of the bag, you know, you're probably going to move on to Z-Star anyway. So, or, you know, or XV anyway. So definitely had a little more spin in the long game, but again, for me, that's not a bad thing. You know, iron game, everything that you hit in there would pretty much stop predictably. I mean, I never had anything hit and spin back. I don't think I had anything solid enough to get it to spin back, but everything was hit and release a pretty limited amount. I mean, if you hit a good shot into a green, that ball was going to hit, like I said, a couple feet of release, and that was about it. It was pretty well controlled. It definitely helped get up in the air. You know, it was definitely, I mean, like I said, I hit the ball a little flatter. This thing helps get it up in the air a little bit. And it, just like driver, this thing helps get up in the air for the you know, the irons, especially with some of the stuff like hitting like a six iron. There are a couple par threes that were pretty long that you hit some longer irons into that, you know, having a little extra height just, you know, gave you a little more control when it hit the green and got it to stop. And then, you know, wedge wise, there were a couple shots that I hit that checked up a little harder than I thought. And there were the kind of those little, like, you know, just off the green, say 15 yard shot. And you're just trying to like pop it on and let it, you know, let it run with the break and just let it go. And those actually ended up a decent amount short. And when you nipped them well, they did. They checked up pretty hard. And so I think in terms of, you know, this ball, in terms of around the green, you know, it is labeled the highest spinning. It definitely is high spinning. I mean, I wasn't able to take XV and Z-Star and put them, you know, all three together and hit a bunch of chip shots. But it definitely is something that they do bite around the greens. Excuse me. They do bite around the greens, and they bite pretty well. The feel of it is definitely, you know, very, you know, XV-ish. It's soft, but it's still overall firm. I mean, I think the cover on it's soft, so audibly it doesn't really click a ton. It's got just a little bit off the putter. And with the wedges, I mean, like I said, it doesn't have a big audible click, but you can definitely feel it's a little bit firmer than Z-Star is. I would say it's, you know, if you're playing an XV and you put this down, I don't know if you'd notice the difference, you know, chipping it, putting it, things like that. It's going to be pretty similar. It was consistent all day. I mean, I never had, you know, shots where I, you know, hit a good ball and wondered why it went a certain way. Everything was really consistent with it. Distance-wise, I thought it was pretty much, you know, pretty much spot on. You know, iron shots, whatever distance it was, I thought I pretty much hit those distances. You know, I didn't come up with anything crazy short, nor did I come up with anything really long. It wasn't like I was hitting anything, you know, two clubs longer or, you know, anything like that. I think distances were pretty much spot on to what I normally hit. The only one that, I wouldn't say the only one, but the first par three, so number three, I think the first par three I hit, I was kind of in between clubs. I think it was like in between a six and seven iron, really. And the wind, it was a little downhill. Wind was like just a hair behind. And I didn't think I hit an amazing seven iron. I went seven iron figuring, okay, if I hit it well, I'll be all right. And long was kind of dead. It was like up in this hill and it was just really not a good place to be. So I hit seven iron and I didn't hit it great. I thought I hit it kind of like a groove low and thin, and I was almost pin high on the left side. So it was, it ended up being a fairly decent shot. And I think, you know, like I said, this ball here having a little more spin, all that, I think I did carry a little farther, but nothing crazy. Like I said, distance wise, I didn't play anything different than I normally would, which I think is a good thing. I think if you're putting a golf ball in play, you're not going to want something that all of a sudden you're hitting like, you know, two clubs longer or two clubs shorter, whatever. You want something that's going to be pretty much the distances you're used to. But overall, I think the green side, really, really good. I think it does check up pretty hard. I wasn't able to test it out deep rough because it's Southern California and there is no deep rough. It was all, you know, tight lies for the most part. So there's no real review out of deep grass. I will get that come spring here. But out of tight lies and pretty much no rough, the ball performed really well. And I think it's a good, you know, a good ball in terms of an addition to the Z-Star line. I think a lot of people are going to try it. A lot of people are going to enjoy it. And, you know, if you're somebody who's looking for something that spins a ton around the green, you know, launches a little higher and still has a good soft, yet slightly firm feel to it, I think the Z-Star Diamond's your ball. If you're somebody who at the top end of your bag plays an absolute monster amount of spin, you're probably going to stay away from this ball and probably go over to, you know, the XV or something like that. But, you know, if you're somebody, like I said, doesn't mind having a little bit of spin, a little bit of height on the top end of the bag and have a ton of greenside control and the, you know, with the wedges, you know, this is a great ball to try out. And like I said, I had fun. I enjoyed playing it. It was really good. I caught some flack from some people I was playing with. I think my old boy Johnny Wonder was in the group. We ended up playing like five on the way in, and we ended up playing five. And I think Johnny gave me a bunch of crap about, you know, playing a Srixon ball. But like I said, it was a really good ball. I enjoyed playing it, and I'll definitely play it some more here in the spring when it comes. It'll be fun to play it kind of on my own courses and kind of see, like I said, how it performs in a little deeper rough. And greens that maybe are a little softer, a little more receptive, and see how it plays. But overall, really impressed with it so far. Yeah, it's the new Z-Star Diamond. So check that out from Srixon. That's all I've got. Hopefully you guys have had a great week. You got one more day, and then hopefully the weekend. And like I said, look for Tursky and I tomorrow. It should be quite fun. So hopefully everybody has a good one. We'll talk next week, and we'll see you later.